Brothers can try and make some majma jor, inshallah. Brothers that are in atikaf, we make a humble appeal to you. The tents, mashallah, will be very comfortable and the voice will be reaching. But the majalis and gatherings of deen, there are certain adab and etiquettes. If we listen to our ulama ikram, like it is mentioned, Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say, Al-ilm ilman, used to say knowledge, there are two types of knowledge. One is what we call information. That is ilmun alal lisan, where the knowledge is on the tongue. In other words, we have the information. So he used to say, Dhaka hujjatullahi ala ibn Adam. He used to say, that is Allah's proof against us. Knowledge of deen, knowledge of Quran and hadith, and yet Allah's proof against you. This is such a delicate warning that we are given. Allah's proof against you and ilm, knowledge. Because what is true knowledge? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say, Kafa bil mar'i ilman an yakhsha Allah. Knowledge is that which inculcates the khashiyat and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. That is knowledge. Hassan Basri, man izdada ilman, walam yazdad min ad-dunya bu'dan, walam yazdad min ad-dunya zuhdan, lam yazdad min Allah illa bu'dan. That person whose knowledge, in other words, information increases, but with that his disinclination from the dunya doesn't increase. And he says, all this knowledge will do, Quran, hadith knowledge, all it will do is will take it further and further away from Allah. Quran, which is the height, the source of knowledge, Allah gives us such a grave warning in the Quran. That too, if you look at the sequence, Allah says, يُدِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. First, dalalat. Allah says, through the same Quran, we will deviate many people. Yahdi bihi kathira, and through the Quran we will give hidayah to many people also. So one of the important aspects of this majalis and gatherings of knowledge today, mashallah, with advances in technology, you can be sitting thousands of kilometers away and listening to a dini talk. That all that is in its place. What is important in our deen is adab and etiquette. And part of the adab and etiquette, this is why the humble appeal we are making. Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were certain adab and etiquettes of the gathering of deen that they taught us. One is, they would sit so close and with so much of shock and inclination that we hear this over and over again, that if a cloth had to be placed over them, there would be no indentations. Al-ilm ilman, knowledge is of two types. Ilmun al-lisan, one is the knowledge on the tongue, and this is Allah's proof against us. Wa ilmun fil qalb. Wa ilmun fil qalb. And the second type of knowledge is the one that is in the heart. Dhaqal ilmun nafi'. Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say, that is beneficial knowledge. Imam Malik rahimahullah, laysa al-ilm bi kathratil riwayat. Ilm is not excessive information. This is why a lot of times people have this objection, our halqa of ta'lim, same kitab, why we keep reading the same thing over and over again, because we don't understand the object. What's the object? Object is for the nur of that to enter the heart. And what is the expression of that? When there will be amal. When we will practice upon what we are listening. We are not here to get what we call ecstasy of the ears. We are here to gauge how much these things are coming in our life. Dhaka ilmun nafi'. Laysa al-ilm bi kathrati riwayat. Knowledge is not excessive riwayat. Walakinnahu nur. Walakinnahu nur. Knowledge is nur. It's a light. Yaqdhifuhu Allah fi qalbi man yasha. Allah puts it in the heart of whom He wants. For that, there are certain conditions. One is the cleanliness of the heart, and the other very, very important condition is adab and etiquette. Have value for the knowledge. This is why we make a humble appeal with jor, love, muhabbat, softness, compassion. Some will be sleeping so that they can wake up for ibadat later in the night, that is fine. Anyone else, whether in the courtyard or upstairs, first floor, second floor, third floor, mashallah, Hilal has got a lot of crevices and corners. If we are not sleeping, we make a humble appeal that let us try and come in the ijtimai amal, sit with adab and etiquette. And inshallah, Allah will give us the noor of what is being read. Normally we used to read a little bit of Hayatul Sahaba, but obviously just as a caveat for us to bear in mind, Hayatul Sahaba is not part of what we call our ijtimai and collective ta'aleem. In our marakis, yes, throughout the world, Nizamuddin, Raiwin, etc., after Isha Salah every night they have collective Hayatul Sahaba. And on our Friday night, Shab Guzari, we have collective Hayatul Sahaba. But this is something that's encouraged, particularly for those of us that are engaged in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, that we try and individually take out a little bit of time. You don't have to take a lot of time, little bit of time every day, and try and read from Hayatul Sahaba. Also to create some sort of taalluq and association with our kabirin, our elders of tabligh, many of whom have passed away. We still have a few very, very senior elders that are amongst us, like Mawla Ibrahim Devla Sahib, etc. Daun Barakatu, as much as possible, we should try and benefit from these akabirin, because they receive their tarbiyat and their understanding of the work directly from Mawla Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh, from the elders of the work. So as far as possible, try and benefit so that the correct understanding can come. And one such great pillar of light whom Allah Ta'ala accepted and used was Azma Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So what I've decided this year is just by way of to create some sort of chaska. If you say chaska, means just a little bit of thirst. I came across a book which was alhamdulillah quite well translated, the collection of letters of advice that Mawla Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh wrote. We heard today after Zohar, Mufti Aku was mentioning about how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to use letters as a means of dawah. And depending on the reaction of some of the kings and rulers of that time to the letter of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala either made or broke them. When they showed respect, it became a means of hidayat. When they showed arrogance, that was a means of their damnation. But this was a very, very effective tool, letter writing. Very, very effective tool. And we see it in many incidents in Hayatul Sahaba also. So, just like I said, this is not part of ijtimai or collective ta'aleem, but just to give us an idea and to create some sort of taalluq with our akabirin of tabligh. I'm reading a little bit from, just a few minutes actually, from Azma Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh's letters. So under we those of us who were with us on the Safar, we covered quite a bit. So now we are at letter number 10. So just a glimpse of it. Hazrat Mawla is writing to somebody after one ishtima in a letter. Alhamdulillah, those who participated in the ishtima held at your place returned with commendable sentiments. May Allah Ta'ala accept them for this work. Their rising will, inshallah, bring about an intense upsurge in the Iman and Islam of the Muslims worldwide. The true worth of a person is gauged on the basis of his attributes in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of the people as well. Good attributes are bound to engender spontaneous admiration of a person within the hearts of people. This is the transcendental norm of Allah Ta'ala. Attributes in question are taqwa, tawakkul. Taqwa, normally we translate it as self-restraint or fear of Allah. Tawakkul, trust in Allah Ta'ala. Zuhud, to abstain from the luxuries of the world. Forbearance and patience in the wake of pain caused by others. Good character, truthfulness, loyalty. Whomsoever develops these attributes will be adored and loved by the masses. on account of such outstanding attributes, Islam, structured on a footing of dawah, spread very rapidly. What Maulana is saying? Dawah and its effectiveness is if a da'i will adorn himself with sifat and attributes, not lectures and speeches and noise. Attributes, taqwa, tawakkul, reliance on Allah Ta'ala, trust, etc. We should endeavor to develop these attributes within ourselves, as they are responsible for creating unity within the hearts. These were the attributes. In this statement, I'm repeating it. Zuma says, we should endeavor to develop these attributes within ourselves, as they are responsible for creating unity within the heart. This is actually a very, very severe warning which Hazrat Maulana is giving. That if you are a cause of disunity, it is because of your lack of piety and lack of sifat and attributes. This is what will create tor and disunity in the ummah. So it's something to be very, very careful about. Am I uniting the hearts or am I distancing people? Sometimes shaitan, under the guise of piety, will make you break the hearts of people. So the cause of it is the lack of these sifat and attributes. These were the attributes of the Sahaba as conveyed from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People characterized by such attributes don't seek admiration from the people, nor are they angered by the vilification of those who verbally abuse them. They are not dependent upon the people, but their attention is focused upon the transcendental system of Allah, which is exposed before them, and they openly witness the sunnah of Allah. They are able to perceive mystery lying behind man's success and failure. They are quite aware of the satanic and worldly deceptions. In regard to these two deceptions, Allah Ta'ala has issued stern warnings in the Holy Quran. He who is not aware of these two things is miles away from the road of success. They are perpetually responsible for making man negligent of the hereafter, ensuring that he remains preoccupied with worldly pursuits. Those who apprehend this have brought the principles of dawah under their control. Now the work of dawah aids in spiritually nurturing them. They attain more benefit in struggling than they do in comfort. They attain more benefit in struggling than they do in comfort. All the comforts and delights of the world fail to appease them. They have before them the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be very affectionate towards your friends. An intelligent person is one who subdues the hearts in spite of obstinate elements appearing before him. And the hearts can only be subdued with the above cited attributes, particularly with the attributes of good character and perseverance. To a mu'min, patience and perseverance are like a weapon, and good character is like a snare. He brandishes his weapon and traps with his snare. Therefore, he who lacks the weapon or the snare is unable to subdue the hearts of the people. Even his close associates will turn out to be antagonistic towards him. Material sacrifices coupled with physical sacrifices will no doubt produce results in this world, regardless of whether the sacrifice is offered for the cause of haq or the cause of batil, or for a sincere cause. However, the outcome will not be as laudable if one offers monetary sacrifices whilst another offers physical sacrifices. In these spiritually turbulent times, the movement of dawah plays the role of a well-protected fort. Those taking part in dawah will, inshallah, be well guarded against thousands of temptations, because the blast of evil blowing about nowadays are influencing even the religious-minded and sowing the seeds of dissension within their ranks. Owing to the work of dawah, the special help of Allah descends and the barakat blessings of the Quran manifest themselves. Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is once again revived, whilst love and affection towards ordinary folk of the Ummah develops. This is a great bounty of Allah. The grandeur of the world diminishes from the heart, whilst the esteem for deen increases. This is also a special favor from Allah. The concluding chapter, Hazrat Maulana writes, today all our earnings are likened to a burden placed upon our shoulders. We are drastically increasing the reckoning of Qiyamah against ourselves. Also, the techniques employed in our earnings are a far cry from Islamic principles. Islamic techniques are those which are based on truthfulness and trustworthiness, coupled with iman, whilst the subsequent spending is carried out in an Islamic way, then only can this earning be labeled as a dini occupation. Today, these things are a great rarity. Those who emerge in the path of Allah and spend their wealth save themselves from a great deal of extravagance. Their homes, eating habits, clothing, marriages, their life and death, virtually everything radiates an aura of simplicity, and they are well protected from the evils spurred on by worldly customs. Nothing save dawah can confront the forces of batil. Only the dawah of haq, truth, has this unique ability to undermine batil. Hence, go about doing this work with love and esteem, and render it your ambition and aim in life. As we can see, these advices, each one of them requires a great deal of detail, and these advices are such that in our individual time, we should try and read them again and again, because Hazrat Muhammad Khan Sahib, particularly Rahmatullah Ali, amongst our elders, Allah Ta'ala gave him this because of his qurbani and sacrifice. I remember Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, once I was in Madina Sharif, and he himself told me, he said that if you want to see someone who makes you think of the Sahaba in this century, look at Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib. If you want to see someone who makes you think of the Sahaba from the way he lives his life in this century, look at Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. So he, to a large extent, this is like a magnifying glass, a spiritual doctor, particularly to those of us involved in the work of Dawah and Tabligh. The crux of what he said, that the success of our work will be based on two things. One is we have to develop sifat and attributes, and secondly, we have to inculcate within ourselves a lack of attraction towards the dunya. Try and bring ourselves on simplicity. Instead of amassing things, use our wealth that Allah gives us and our time for the spreading of the work of dawah. And always be a source of unity. Allah give us tawfiq. Hayatul Sahaba. As I mentioned many times in these majalis that we have, that obviously a lot of these incidents of Sahaba Ikram that Hazrat Maysoor Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned in Hayatul Sahaba, they require a lot of detail, and there are always, unfortunately, time constraints, and particularly these nights. Objective of these nights is solitude. Develop our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if I perceive it is Laylatul Qadr, what must I do? Famous hadith, all of us by now will know it. But the crux or the lesson of that hadith is that the objective of these nights is dua. Dua, dua, and then dua. Asking Allah for forgiveness for ourselves, for the whole ummah. In other words, to devote ourselves to ibadat. And generally our ibadat is in solitude. It is you and Allah Ta'ala. So as much as possible, like we said, shouldn't be, we sit in halka of Hayatul Sahaba and say, MashaAllah, I made my ibadah and go to sleep. No. This is just to create within us a little bit of fervor to make ibadah. Number one, and number two, that, like I said, the chaska, the thirst, so that, inshallah, the foundation of what we build in Ramadan, we want it to permeate for the rest of the year. So, to bring these a'mal in our lives for the rest of the year. Today, unfortunately, a very, very great challenge we face, very few of us realize it also, is the incorrect utilization of our time. There's a lot of temptations out there. And you tell somebody, don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do, is very hard. What is better and what the psychology of our work is, show them what to do. Then inshallah, they'll get so involved in that, that itself will become the obstacle from doing what you're not supposed to do. So amongst that, for example, we are in our tasbihat, then 2.5 hours in the masjid, then our daily visitation, then our daily mashwara, then our tahajjud, then our ishraq, then our chash, then our awabin, and then our infiradi talim. Inshallah, all the things that we're supposed to be doing, if we do, there won't be any time left to do anything else that we're not supposed to do. Today we're doing the other thing because we've got the time. Why we've got the time? Because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. In any case, this incident for the sadhis that were with us, we already did read it. I'm going to briefly touch on it again without much detail, because there's a certain aspect to this that is pertinent to these nights that I felt that is important that we make a little bit of further, inshallah, muzakara about. As the Mayusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, in the 11th chapter of Hayat al-Sahaba, he brings an ajib heading, Kaifa, how? Kana Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu ya'ujuna ilallah. He uses an ajib word, ya'ujuna ilallah bidda'awat. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba would, this word ya'uju is one of the words, unfortunately, or realistically, that you can't easily translate in English, because there's many connotations in it. In other words, they would finish themselves in humbly begging and beseeching Allah in dua. He could have said how the Sahaba made dua, or how Rasulullah made dua. He didn't say ya'ujuna bidda'wa. Because dua, like salah is an amal, dua is an amal. And like salah is an ibadat, dua is an ibadat also. And like we should be concerned, is my salah accepted? We should be concerned, is my dua accepted? And like salah has certain conditions. If a person doesn't make wuzu and read salah, how does he expect his salah to be accepted? If he's facing some other direction besides Qibla, if he makes the salah anyhow. So like we understand, salah is an ibadat, there are sharait, there are conditions attached to it. In the same way, ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Ad-du'a'u huwal ibadah. That's the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, dua is the essence, the epitome of all ibadat. Those who are familiar with human physiology or biology, you have the bone. And then in the bone, they say the life of the bone is a little liquid in the joints. They call it marrow, bone marrow. The Arabic word for bone marrow is mukh. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, like, this is the analogy, like without the marrow, the bone will shrivel and die. Ibadat will shrivel and die without dua. Mukhul ibadah. He said the bone marrow of ibadat is dua. So like we understand that ibadat has conditions. Salah, zakat, hajj, how many conditions? Whole books are written. How must you discharge your zakat? Is the zakat discharged? We are encouraged, go to the ulama, find out the masail. Like that dua also. Dua is an amal. There are certain conditions, certain requirements. And we should try and imbibe ourselves with those qualities, and very, very important, avoid things that become a deterrent in the acceptance of dua. So this incident pertains to that first aspect, and then a little detail after that we'll go into whatever time, obviously despite the time constraints.
أخرج ابن أبي الدنيا عن طلحة بن عبيد الله رضي الله عنه قال انطلق رجل ذات يوم فنزع ثيابه وتمرغ في الرمضاء ويقول لنفسه ذوقي نار جهنم أجيفة بالليل وبطالة بالنهار قال فبينه وكذلك طلحة بن عبيد الله رضي الله عنه narrates that there was a person. Based on other riwayat, we find that it was a young man, not some old person, youngster, sahabi. One day he took off his clothes. وَتَمَرَّغَ. Tamarraga actually means taqallaba. He was tossing and turning. Tossing. First he took off his kurta. Then he was tossing and turning. It's another subject. I'm not going to go into the details. But fir ramda, in the burning sand of the desert. Now this is very interesting. A lot of times we say the word Ramadan means heat, because it comes from the root words Ramada Yarmuda, which is what the same word is used here. That this sahabi took off his kurta, started tossing and turning, fir ramda, in other words, on the burning sand of the desert. Remonstrating with himself, taste, feel the heat of the fire of hell. Will you persistently
behave as a corpse and sleep away the nights? Remonstrating with himself, scolding himself, taste this burning sand of the desert. Will you persistently spend your day spend your night like a corpse sleeping? وَبَطَّالَةٌ مِّن نَهَارٍ. And will you wipe out your days, waste them away in batil, in lightest meaning of this, in not doing what you were supposed to do to save yourself from Jahannam? فَبَيْنَهُ وَكَذَلِكَ. Whilst he was doing this, what is this? This is what we talk about repeatedly, what ulama say, what is one of the objects of the halqa of ta'aleem? What is the object? كَيْفَ يَتَأَثَّرْ قُلُوبُنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَكَلَامِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. How this heart can take effect from the words of Allah and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have heard about Jahannam, Sahaba heard about Jahannam. To us, Jahannam, Jannat. This Sahabi takes his kurta off, lies on the burning sand of the desert. The Jahannam that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is speaking about, that Allah is speaking about in the Quran, is haq. You can't bear this heat and yet you sleep like a corpse at night. You don't want to stand in front of Allah. You waste your time in the day in batil. Don't you realize Jahannam is coming? Whilst he was doing this, all of a sudden he noticed that Rasulullah is looking at him. Fi dhilli shajar. Nabi had been shaded by some branches of a tree, so he wasn't easily visible. So this youngster was not aware that Rasulullah was looking at him. When he became aware, قال, he excused himself. غَلَبَتْنِي نَفْسِي. Ya Rasulullah, I got carried away. غَلَبَتْنِي نَفْسِي, closest translation, I got carried away, thinking that what he had done was inappropriate. This expression of yaqeen in akhirat was so loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَمَا, you are excusing what you did, but the reality, لَقَدْ فُتِّحَتْ لَكَ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ, the doors of the heavens are open for you now. You have, in other words, you've got a direct line with the arsh of Allah. وَلَقَدْ بَاهَا بِكَ الْمَلَائِكَ, and right now my Allah is boasting about you to His angels. In other words, yaqeen, yaqeen, yaqeen. This is the object of our work of da'wat and tabligh. تَحْرِيكِ iman, to develop yaqeen, conviction, that this is not on the tongue, the reality has to enter the heart. And then, this is ajeeb. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ. Then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم turned to whichever sahaba were there, or the companions or friends of this person. And look at the expression Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses. When a person is going on a journey, he carries with him what is called, we call it patkos. That's the colloquial expression. The Arabic word for it is zad, zad or rahila, the provisions that you carry on a journey. So this is the same term Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. Turns to the other companions and he says, تَزَوَّدُوا, prepare, carry provisions for your journey from your brother. Carry provisions for your journey from your brother. تَزَوَّدُوا مِنْ أَخِيكُمْ. What did Sahaba understand from this? And what was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually saying? What they understood and what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was actually saying, things like this translate for us what was the temperament and the mizaj of Medina in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much they would speak about akhirat, 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 jannat, jahannam, that literally in my and your understanding, what was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying? Ask him to make dua for you. Why? Because the doors to the heavens are open. Allah is boasting about him. Now he has reveal this level of yaqeen, his du'as are accepted. So I'm telling you people, ask him to make du'a for you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't say ask him to make du'a for you. He says, prepare provisions for your impending journey through your brother. In other words, same meaning, ask for du'as, but This is how akhirat was presented as a reality.
فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلْ يَقُلْ Immediately they said, Ya Fulan, O so and so, udu'u li, make dua for us.
One side, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, told them, ask him for du'as. In other words, prepare for your journey to akhirat. Other side, to teach the ummah. And this is one very, very important lesson that we have to learn. Don't take this the wrong way. We have a habit. Many of us have the habit. Shaykh, make dua for me. Please make dua for me. Please make dua. Nothing wrong with that. More mustajabu da'awad than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no one. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there. He is telling sahaba, ask this man to make dua for you. And not one sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah, you are here, you make dua for us. No. Every one of them turns to him and says, make dua for us. He inculcated the power of dua in each ummati. He made every ummati a person of dua. This is the Indo-Pak sickness. Make dua, make dua, make dua, to the point that we want somebody else. Make your own dua. Develop your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Allah's doors are open. So, Ya Fulan Udu'uli. And then, because he was obviously Muallim, he was the teacher of the Ummat, the Murabbi of the Ummat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turns to the youngster also. They are requesting you for dua. Ummahum. Ummahum. In other words, don't only make dua for yourself, make dua for the whole Ummat. We as a da'i, we don't live an insulated existence. Our fikr is umumi, and the jaan and the foundation and the life of this work is umumiyat. So even dua, ummahum, make it aam. Nabi Salaam says to him, ummahum. So he raises his hands, this youngster. Allahumma ja'ali taqwa zadahum. Allahumma ja'ali taqwa zadahum. Wallah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they must ask me to prepare for their provisions for akhirat, for their journey. Make the provisions of their journey taqwa. Allahumma ja'ali taqwa zadahum. Wajma' ala al-huda amrahum. And Allah, unite their affairs upon hidayat and spiritual guidance. And Allahu Akbar. May all our lives be sacrificed upon our noble master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to them, ask him to make dua for you. Says to him, make umumi dua, incorporate the whole ummat in your dua. And as this youngster starts making dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua to Allah ta'ala that Ya Allah guide him to make the correct dua. Allahumma saddidhu. Allah, let his dua be correct. And this is what is the mansha of this khuruj. Experienced senior people are going out in the path of Allah with junior, less experienced people. The object is to train each person to do every amal. Train each person. All these principles and usools and hidayat, 2-hour hidayat talk, 3-hour hidayat talk that we hear in Raiwi, in Nizam, all these places. We hear from our elders in our ishtimas. All these are extracted directly from the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In dua also, he taught them how to make dua. He developed each one to become a person of dua. And then he made dua to Allah that Allah must guide them how to make dua. Allahumma saddidhu. Allah, guide him, inspire him to make the correct dua. Why? Because this dua was lacking one more thing. What was it lacking? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard, I'm repeating the dua. Allahumma ja'ali taqwa zadahum. O Allah, make their provisions taqwa. Unite their affairs upon hidayat. He hadn't asked for jannat. He hadn't asked for jannat. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma saddidhu, Allah guide him, inspire him, immediately Allah accepts the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the third dua that this youngster makes, وَجْعَلِ الْجَنَّةَ مَعَابَهُمْ O Allah, make their final abode jannat. Because that is the goal. وَجْعَلِ الْجَنَّةَ مَعَابَهُمْ Now as we mentioned, dua is ibadat. There are sharaib, conditions. Amongst that, from this incident we learn, doors of the heavens are open. Allah is boasting about you. Everyone asked him to make dua. What was it the basis of? What was the foundation? The yaqeen of the sahabi. Yaqeen, conviction. Today, this is what is lacking in our du'as. We've got more conviction in the worldly asbab than in the system of Allah. For example, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make du'a for shifa, if you look at the ma'sur, manqul du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he would visit the sick, and he would place his hand on them, and he would make du'a, what du'a would he make? Part of the dua, ishfi, O Allah, give shifa. Anta shafi, O Allah, you are the only one who gives shifa. La shifa illa shifa. Ya Allah, there is no other shifa besides your shifa. This is what is lacking today. Where is the heart going first when we have a problem? Allah's system or our system? Somebody is sick, nobody says don't use the doctor and medicine. But where is the yaqeen? Where is the conviction? My dua not accepted, dua not... Where is the yaqeen in the dua? I mentioned to my satis also the other day, Ajib Karguzari. One person spent 4.5 months Mastura Jamaat in. He was from Karachi, this brother. He was giving Karguzari. Somebody sent me a clip. Right in Markaz, he was giving the Karguzari. So he says, when I came back, 4.5 months, those days, Mastura Jamaat used to go 4.5 months. Now the elders have reduced the tartib to 3 months. So this was some time back. So 4.5 months in the path of Allah. After he returned, he said, one day I went home, my wife told me the child is sick. In other words, quickly, let's make intizam, go to the doctor. So he said, then I thought to myself. And Mahayusuf Sahib Ramtullah Ali, in another chapter in Hadith Sahib, has mentioned this incident. That once Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was rolling on the ground with severe stomach disorder. Severe stomach pain. Excruciating pain. What did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say to him? He said, Qum, Qum, stand up Abu Huraira. Fasalli, make salah. Fa inna fi salati shifa. Because in your salah, Allah has kept shifa. In other words, the yaqeen of the ummah, the conviction of the ummah in a'mal. إِذَا حَزِبَ أَمْرًا فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Any problem, wind starts blowing heavily. Any problem, the wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, our Azwaj Mutahara say, any problem, my Nabi, salah. إِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. He said, seek Allah's help through sabr and salah. Today, sabr, salah, a'mal is the last thing that comes in the mind when everything else fails. Whereas it's supposed to be the first thing. قُمْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شِفَا. He said, protect your wealth. How? Employ a security firm. Put CCTV cameras. Put an electric fence. Protect your wealth. How? He said, pay your zakat. Cure your sick. How? Sadaqah. This does not negate utilizing the means, but unfortunately today this talk has come out of the ummah. This talk of yaqeen, a'mal, conviction of a'mal, and because we are lacking in conviction of a'mal, a'mal is not there in our lives. Everything else is there but that. قُمْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شِفَا. Abu Huraira, stand up and read salah. Because in salah, Allah has kept the shifa to your illness. So this brother who had spent 4.5 months, Mastura Jamal tells his wife, you know what, we'll see the doctor, that's in his place, but for 4.5 months, for this whole suffer in the path of Allah, we have been telling the people this incident of Abu Huraira, why don't we practice on it? So he read 2 rakat salah. And then he asked his wife, is the child cured? She said, no. So what did he do? Quickly found a rickshaw and rushed to the doctor. No. read another 2 rakats, and then another 2 rakats, and then another 2 rakats, and then another 2 rakats. After 10 rakats, he asked his wife, is the child cured? She said, no. He read another 10 rakats, 20 rakats. Child cured? No. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 rakats of Nafil Salah. And then he asked his wife, is the child cured? She said, yes. Then Ajib, he said, after that, he said, the first time Allah made me make 100 rakats. After that, for the rest of my life, whenever I have a problem, 2 rakats salah and Allah solves the problem for me. So this first 100 rakats was what? Was to undo the ghairullah, ghairullah, ghairullah of 30, 40 years of the life. Because it's not going to happen overnight. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor or anything, but Sadaqa Rasulullah, La shifa'a illa shifa'u. How many times you say in the bayan, which doctor really knows what's going on? Earlier, I mentioned one Karguzari. Some doctors, mashallah, are very honest. I'm not saying doctors are dishonest, but some are more honest than others. So there's one cardiologist, ajeeb thing he said. He said, Amara rozi ka sawal hai. Amara rozi ka sawal hai. Warna hakikat ye hai, ke dil ke baare mein Allah ki qasam hume kuch bhi pata nahi. So it's a question of our livelihood. We've got to justify the bill we are charging. But if the truth had to be told, so far as this heart is concerned, I take qasam on Allah, in reality, we know nothing about what's going on. And this is not an ordinary, this is a top cardiologist, respected specialist in that field. I always mention in Australia, the one person, 50 years of his life studying the foot, and he gives a speech in the university, Sydney University. And what he says, gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, up till today, we can't understand why the foot works. So who's giving the shifa? The medicine? 8 billion insan on the surface of the earth, if you do an ECG, you know there's an electric pattern that comes on that page that shows you how this heart is beating. The electric signals that it's emitting are recorded. That's why you see that scratching up and down, the pattern. 8 billion human beings on the surface of the earth, by the qasam of my Allah, if you do an ECG for all 8 billion, no two graphs will be the same. No two human beings, their heart is beating exactly the same. We're giving them all the same tablet, the same treatment, the same, and we expect it to work. Yes, to some extent Allah sometimes will show you the result. That is a different matter. But to have yaqeen on that, to have conviction on that. What is sickness? Sickness is Allah's test. Health is Allah's test. Wealth is Allah's test. Poverty is Allah's test. Primarily it's Allah's test to see where this heart is going. Where this heart is going. Today we are in an environment, we are not in an environment of dawah, we are not speaking these things. This is why the thought of it is not coming also. So dua, one a great tool for the effect of dua is yaqeen. Yaqeen on amal, conviction on amal. And already we are running out of time. But as I mentioned, I wanted to discuss a little bit further the other things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about. And in that, I'm just going to discuss one hadith in which 4 things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions as a very, very great deterrent obstacle to the acceptance of dua. And what is that? Uridu أن تستجاب دعوتي. Sahabi came and asked, Ya Rasulullah, I want all my du'as to be accepted. When I raise my hand, between me and Allah, there must be no obstacle. Du'a, I want to become مستجاب الدعوات. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell him? He said, أطب مطعمك. أطب مطعمك. Let your earnings be halal. Let your earnings be halal. Tustajaba da'watuk. All you'll have to do is just raise your hand and you'll have a direct line. Let your earnings be halal. Earning our livelihood. This is something, normally you ask somebody, why, what is the longest surah in the Quran? They tell you Surah Baqarah. What is the longest verse in the entire Quran? The longest verse in the entire Quran, Allah doesn't talk about salah, doesn't talk about zakat, doesn't talk about hajj, doesn't talk about any of the pillars of Islam. The longest verse in the Quran, and Allah begins this verse, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O people of Iman. And if you look at the context, in other words, O Muslim businessman, how must you do trade and commerce? Because this is a very, very, very effective tool for you not to just earn Jannat. You will earn the highest Jannat. The highest Jannat. Through trading correctly. Doing business correctly. Earning halal. There's nothing purer than that. Comes in hadith, Inna atyabal kasbi kasbut tujjar. Atyab. Tayyib. Tayyib in Arabic means the purest of the purest, the noblest of the noblest, the highest of the highest. Some people get wealthy through inheritance, some people get wealthy through some handout, some people get wealthy, whatever. Of all the avenues, whatever wealth you had, there is no wealth that is more pure and precious than the one that you actually earned. Hadith teaches us that. It will get you the highest Jannat also. Provided certain conditions are met. And this is the condition. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, one day they asked him, they said, how is it that whenever, he said, people come to you to ask you to make dua for them. Why is it whenever you raise your hand, Allah accepts your dua? So what was the answer he gave? He said, I have never lifted a single morsel of food to my mouth except I know exactly where it came from and what its eventual outcome was. VIP Sahaba, top 10, Abdurrahman bin Auf, when he passed away, 3,102,000,000 dinars. Gold coins, 3,102,000,000 gold coins. 10,000 sheep, 1,000 camels, 1,000 horses. Tracks upon tracks of land. This was the inheritance that he left behind, and he is considered, our iman is on this, that he is amongst the top 10 of Sahaba. What was it? The way the earnings were acquired. Halal. The hadith I mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. This is a very lengthy topic, I'm not going to go into details. I'm just mentioning this one hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat, wa'amalu saliha. Allah ordered the Anbiya, alayhimus salam, Quran. Allah ordered the Anbiya, eat of the pure and do good deeds. Why? Because the acceptance of your amal and dua is directly linked to your earnings being halal. And then, Inna Allaha amara al-mu'mineen bima amara bihi al-mursaleen. Allah ordered the believers with the same command that He ordered the Anbiya. And then in that hadith, Rasulullah mentions about one person. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ. This hadith is ajeeb if you analyze it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned one person. And then he mentions four things about this person. One is, يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ. He is in safar. Long journey. Not ordinary journey, long journey. أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرُ. أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرُ. The height of simplicity. Clothes are tattered and torn, body full of dust. Two things so far. One is, long journey. Second thing, Ash'atha Akbar. Very, very simple. Yamuddu yadehi ila sama. He stretches out his hands to the heavens. Third thing that's mentioned. Stretches out his hands to the heavens. Fourth thing, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, O my Allah. Oh my Allah, oh my Allah. Now why are these four things mentioned? Because every one of them, it is mentioned in hadith that this is a means to get your du'as accepted. Safar, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Thalathu da'wat mustajabat la shakka fihinna. He said, there are three du'as which Allah will accept, and there is no doubt in the fact that these three du'as will be accepted. One du'a, he said, da'watul musafir, the du'a of a person on safar. Second, he said, da'watul madloom, the dua of an oppressed person. Third thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, da'watul walad, da'watul walid li waladihi, the dua of a parent for their child. Dua of a parent for their child. This is amongst the three du'as, mustajaba la shakka fihin. Definitely Allah will accept, no doubt in it. And there's one another version of this hadith, I'm digressing, that ulama mentioned, da'watul walid ala walad, da'watul walid li waladi, and there's one version, da'watul walid ala waladi. The bad du'a of a parent for their child. Du'a of the parent, accepted, no doubt. But dua also, accepted, no doubt. So be very, very careful to take the curses of your parents. So in any case, first condition, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yutilu safar. This is a means of acceptance of dua. Second, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described this man, ash'atha aghbar. His disheveled body is full of dust. In other words, simplicity, tawazu. It's mentioned when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go for istisqa, dua for rain. Sahaba say, kharaja mutawadi'an, mutabarrilan, mutadarri'an. Rasulullah SAW would adopt a means and a manner of great simplicity. Because this is a sabab and a means for the acceptance of dua. Third thing, yamuddu yadayhi ila sama, Nabi SAW, his hands were raised to the heavens. Inna Allaha hayyun kareem. Mentioned in hadith of Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala is full of great haya, and Allah is very generous. And part of Allah's haya and generosity is that whenever anyone stretches his hand out to dua, stretches his hand out to Allah in dua, it is against the generosity and the haya of Allah. Antruddahu khaibin, that Allah should sifran, that Allah Ta'ala should turn him away empty-handed. So in the description of this man, Rasulullah SAW has given three already sifat of the acceptance of dua. One, he's on a journey, long journey. Second, it's full of dust, absolute simplicity. Thirdly, he has raised his hand. It's mentioned in Badr, Sahaba say, Nabi SAW raised his hand so much that the cloak that was on his shoulder fell down, he was making dua. And he used to go for istisqa, sahaba say, he used to raise his hand so much that they could see the whiteness of his armpits. All three things are found. Fourth thing, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. Abu Yazid Ruqashi narrates from Anas radiallahu ta'ala that anyone who raises his hands to Allah and entreats Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Oh my Allah, Oh my Rabb, Oh my Rabb, Allah says to him, Sal tu'ata, ask, your dua is accepted. And we see this in Quran also. The last ruku of Ghaliban Surah Al-Imran, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wakhtilafi al-layl, we see towards the end, Rabbana, innaka man tudkhilin nara faqad akhzayta, wa ma lidh-dhalimina min ansar. Rabbana, innana sami'na munadiya yunadi lil iman, an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Rabbana, faghfir lana dhunubana, wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina, wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana, wa atina ma wa'adtana ala rusulik, ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد ربنا 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 ربنا. In other words, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, and then immediately فاستجاب لهم ربهم فاستجاب, Allah has accepted the dua. So this is one of the conditions, one of the qualities that's told to us in hadith. All four are found with this person. ثم ذكر الرجل يطير السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. But his food is haram, his earnings are haram, his nourishment is haram, his livelihood is haram. In other words, door numbery, hera pheri, dusro ke hukuk ko loot raha hai, lying, treachery, deceiving, false promises. Head to toe he is treacherous in his earnings. Four asbab of du'as are visible. And what does Rasulullah SAW? He doesn't say his dua is not accepted. He says, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَالِكَ. How can you even consider for one second that Allah is going to accept this dua? How can you, this is literal translation. How can you consider even for 1 second that Allah is going to accept this dua? So this, these nights, these occasions, with our duas, it's a time very, very important, my respected brothers, for us to introspect. Livelihood is one-way ticket to Jannah, not just Jannah. Earning halal is a one-way ticket to the highest Jannah. The same thing if not done correctly. People's hukuk, debts we haven't paid, usurp the wealth of others, not earning correctly. This is not something that is viewed lightly in our Sharia. This is a very, very grave and a serious issue. This is what the multitudes of incidents, like I said, there's no time now. In fact, there's one hadith I want to discuss, but we just ran out of time. Where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned 7 things in which he says that if a businessman has these 7 things, the first 2-3 are most important. He said if you have these qualities, then there is no earning in this world that will be earn you more reward than what Allah is giving you. Provided your business has these qualities. Like I said, that is detailed in itself, but very, very important. One is, have a niyat. Have niyat, intention to clean up our affairs. Allah is very merciful. The doors of Allah's help are open. Du'as also will be accepted. The moment you clean your affairs, make the correct intention already, the doors to Allah's help are open. Don't carry on with this that, you know what, let me just carry on. Tikcha, Laylatul Qadr, Etikaf, 40 days, 4 months, everything. That is the example of a hole in a bucket. If there isn't a genuine intention to change. So have the intention and then make dua on that basis with the intention that Ya Allah, help me. There were many even Sahaba. There's no one higher than them that were drowning in debt and couldn't pay it also. But they corrected their intention. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should teach them du'as, what to read. But all that will happen when the intention is there. Today the tragedy is the tension is not even there. We don't want to change. How is Allah's help going to come if we don't at least make that intention? So one is develop our yaqeen. This is a cause of very, very effective tool for the acceptance of du'as. And with that, these impediments to the acceptance of dua, as far as possible, let us at least make niyat, intention that Allah save us from that. Make our earnings halal. Make our earnings halal and don't make us a cause or means of usurping the rights of anyone else. Like we said, these are nights for du'as. Actually, ideally is our individual du'as, but ta'aliman we see from our akabirin that they used to make collective du'as, but as Imam Ibrahim Sahib, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, very often he mentioned this collective du'a is just by way of ta'alim for us individually to make du'a, turn to Allah Ta'ala and develop our relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله بيدك الخير كله على نيته وسره لك الحمد على نعمة الإيمان ولك الحمد على نعمة الإسلام ولك الحمد على نعمة الزوجات ولك الحمد على نعمة الأولاد لك الحمد على نعمك الكثيرة وآلائك الجثيمة لك الحمد على أن جعلتنا من خير أمة أخرجت للناس لك الحمد يا ربنا حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على جسد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأجساد
وصلي على قبر محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في القبور، وصلي على روح محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأرواح. اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. سبحان ربي العلي الأعلى الوهاب، يا حي يا قيوم، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين، فانصرنا على القوم الظالمين، فانصرنا على القوم المعتدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. أموس ماسف والأموس كايد الله. يا الله we are drowning in our sins. يا الله head to toe. يا الله our whole lives have been spent in your disobedience. يا الله we cannot count your countless bounties and favors upon us. يا الله You commanded us, we disobeyed you. You sent your messengers to remind us, their reminders fell upon deaf ears. Instead of appreciating their reminders, we turned our backs on them with arrogance and pride and stubbornness. You called us, we never listened. You entreated us, your entreaties fell upon deaf ears. The least requirement of the bounties and favors which you blessed us with was we should have shown you our appreciation. Our tongue should have been busy with your zikr. Our eyes should have been trained on seeing the signs of your qudrat and jalal. Our ears should have been listening to your Quran and your kalam. Our hearts should have been beating with your love. Instead of that, we spent the whole day in your disobedience. Yet such was your tolerance and your patience that you said to your malaika, أَكْلَأُهُمْ فِي مَضَاجِعِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَعْصُونِي, that O my angels, I will give these sinning slaves of mine such comfort in their sleep at night as if they didn't disobey me. Your forbearance and your tolerance, there is no words to describe it, O my Allah. But you have said in your Quran, Inna ardi wasi'a, that my earth is very, very wide. The reality, O my Kareem Allah, is that today this earth has become very narrow, very constricted, very confined upon the ummah of your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This woman is drowning in a cauldron of persecution and oppression, Ya Allah. The robe that you have given the Firauns of today is so long, Ya Allah. The heart cannot bear to perceive, the eyes cannot bear to see, the ears cannot bear to listen to the atrocities, Ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters are hungry, Ya Allah. They are without food, they are without shelter. The bombs are raining down on them. The little babies of this woman, their bodies are being charred. Parents are picking up the severed limbs of their babies. The tide of aggression against this woman has become almost unbearable. Still the thirst of the Firauns of today are not being quenched. Ya Allah, no doubt it is your justice No doubt it is your justice. The rain of our transgression and vilification of your deen and the rights of your Nabi, the train of it has gone on too long, Ya Allah. But, Ya Allah, we are the weak section of the ummah of your Rasul. There's no Abu Bakr and Umar, no Usman and Ali amongst us. Where are we going to bring them from, Ya Allah? Where are we going to bring them from? Khar hai, badkar hai, dube huye zillat mein. Kuch bhi ho. Lekin tere mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke ummati hai, Ya Allah. A thief's hand was being cut. A thief's hand was being cut. Your Nabi was crying, Ya Allah. Chor, Ya Allah. Your Nabi was crying, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. What must be happening to that Mubarak Ruh in Madina? What must be happening? When the report of this ummah is passed, the suffering, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. We are beseeching you. Hamare paas koi amal nahi. Hum sifar hai, Ya Allah. Hum khokhla hai, Ya Allah. We are empty. We have to make tawbah for our good deeds, Ya Allah. We are drowning in nifaq. We are drowning in riyakari, Ya Allah. All whole lives have gone. We haven't done one sajda that we can present to you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but Hinda chewed the liver of Hamza, Ya Allah. You made her radiyallahu anhu, Ya Allah. They were idol worshippers. Tere izzat ki qasam, whatever we are, we've never stretched our hands out to idols, Ya Allah. Umar took a sword, he was going to murder your Nabi, Ya Allah. You made him radi Allah. You gave him space at the feet of your Nabi, Ya Allah. You have said in your Quran, Inni ana al-ghafur rahim. There's no door. There's no one else, Ya Allah. There's nowhere else. La malja wa la manja minka illa ilayk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. La malja wa la manja. There is no salvation. There is no hope. There is no aspiration besides towards you, Ya Allah. They have pride on their weaponry. They have pride on their technology. They have pride on their armies, Ya Allah. Tere izzat ki qasam. You are qadir mutlaq, Ya Allah. You are Jabbar as-samawati wal-ard, Ya Allah. Every breath of air, they are in need of you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are beseeching you. We are not worthy. We are not worthy. Ham iqrari mujrim hai. La qawiyun fantasir. La bariyun fa'atadir. Bal mustaghfir. Bal mustaghfir. Bal mustaghfir. You have said, come with sins equivalent to the number of rain droplets. Come with sin equivalent to the waves of the oceans of the world. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are drowning in sins, but our sins are not that, not as many as the waves of the ocean. Three centuries, Ya Allah, 3 centuries, this ummah is sinking. Ya Allah, we are beseeching you, Ya Allah, on behalf of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on this Mubarak night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this night of Ramadan, Ya Allah, this night of your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this month of your mercy, Ya Allah, we are beseeching you, Ya Allah, forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of the day, the sins of the night, the sins we have committed openly, the sins we have committed secretly, every type of sin is there. Our earnings are incorrect. Our ibadat is incorrect. Our lives are incorrect, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but the hearts are in your control, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this second degree, this worthless amal that we have accepted, Ya Allah. You are Kareem, Ya Allah. You are Kareem. We are the weak section of the ummah of your Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, through the large of his tears, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we are, Ya Allah. He said, my sifarish, my shafaat is for those who are drowning in sins of my ummah. We haven't fulfilled your haq. We haven't fulfilled his haq, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, change the situation, Ya Allah. Restore the dignity and honor of the ummah, Ya Allah. The Firauns of today, hidayat is muqaddar for them. Give them quickly. Otherwise, remove the obstacles of hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, open the doors of hidayat, Ya Allah. Give America, Australia, Europe, Asia, China, Africa. Give them hidayat, Ya Allah. Open the doors of hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the capabilities that you have given the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, each one is a gold mine, a silver mine. Ya Allah, these capabilities you never gave us for dunya. We made zulm and used it for dunya. You gave us these capabilities for akhirat, Ya Allah. You gave us these capabilities for the hidayat of humanity, Ya Allah. It is our zulm and oppression, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us. Inspire us to utilize the capabilities, the whole ummah, to utilize their capabilities for that object and purpose for which you gave it, Ya Allah. Make us dyes of deen, Ya Allah. Is kaam ke haqaiq hamare saamne khol de. Is kaam ke nafa khol de. Is kaam ko apne zindagi ke maqsad banane ke taufeeq naseeb farma. Hame masjid wale bana de. Hame bring the ummah back to the masjid, Ya Allah. Bring the ummah back to the masjid. Bring the ummah onto the amal of hidayat, Ya Allah. Bring the ummah onto the namuna of Madina Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give us the jazba of sahaba, Ya Allah. Our wives, our children, our entire families, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us your love and the love of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let our earnings be halal. Save us from haram. Save us from haram. Save us from the filthiness of the heart, from hatred, jealousy, malice, envy. Save us from looking at the weaknesses and deficiencies of others, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, inspire us with taqwa, with khashiyat, with sabr, with ikhlas, with dilayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, make us lanterns of hidayat, Ya Allah. Grant us ikhlas and sincerity, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, pave the way for each one of us to be used as a means of hidayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the time of our departure, inevitable departure, is drawing closer and closer and closer. Grant us husne khatima, Ya Allah. Save us from the azab of qabr. Those of our brothers and sisters that are mubtala in azab of qabr, make their qabr's gardens from the gardens of Jannah. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have never seen anything as frightening as the sight of the grave of the Azab of Qabr. He said, I wanted to make dua that Allah show you my ummah that scene, but you would stop burying your deceased. How many times he cried out to you and he said, Azab al Qabri haq, Azab al Qabri haq. These truths that he told us of, Ya Allah, we have consigned them to deception, to fairy tales. This is to our detriment, Ya Allah. Give us yaqeen on the words of the Quran, on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Save us from the azab of hashar, Ya Allah. Give us our book of deeds in the right hand, Ya Allah. Let us grant us Jami Kosar from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, this Mubarak night, it is our conviction that you free millions of souls from Jahannam. The last 10 of Ramadan, your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us, Akhiruhu itkum minan nar. Akhiruhu itkum minan nar. He said the last section of Jahannam, the last section of Ramadan is emancipation from Jahannam. اللهم اعتق رقابنا ورقاب والدينا وامهاتنا وازواجنا واولادنا وجميع اقاربنا وجميع امه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من النار بقدرتك. اللهم حرم لحومنا على النار. اللهم حرم لحومنا على النار يا واغوثاه من النار. توزا كم سے برداشت نہیں ہو سکتے نہیں ہو سکتے. Grant us Jannatul Firdaus, Ya Allah. Our families, our parents, Ya Allah. Our entire families, Ya Allah. The entire ummah of Rasulullah. There's no shortage in your treasures, Ya Allah. There's no shortage in your treasures, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, no one can question you, Ya Allah. Your Habib will become so happy, Ya Allah. Accept our du'as, Ya Allah. Accept our broken efforts, our broken amal, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept our parents. We can never fulfill their haq, Ya Allah. All those that are parishan, in difficulty or hardship, have asked for du'as or hopeful of du'as, Ya Allah. Fulfill all their
jaiz hajat. Remove their parishanis and difficulties. Those that have passed away, our satizai kiram, ya Allah, living of those who have passed away, those we have benefited from, our kabirin of deen, ya Allah, all those who are engaged in a manner of serving deen in a manner that is pleasing to you, take them from strength to strength. Accept their duas, ya Allah. Open the doors of the acceptance of duas, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, we have asked according to our limited intellect, ya Allah. Your treasures are limitless, ya Allah. Give us that which we have asked for, that which we didn't ask for also, ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for, the goodness of his ummah, grant us that. Whatever he sought protection from, protect us from that, ya Allah. Ya Allah, jata huwa Ramadan hai, ya Allah. Ya Allah, your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there will be many that will get nothing out of the fast. Nothing out of the fast besides hunger and thirst. And nothing out of the qiyam besides tiredness and sleeplessness, ya Allah. Don't make us amongst them, ya Allah. تقبل منا صيامنا وصلاتنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتلاوتنا وأذكارنا وجميع جهدنا في هذا الشهر المبارك يا الله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام الشهر واستكمل الأجر وأدرك ليلة القدر وفاز بالثواب والأجر اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم إنك عفو إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم فاعف عنا يا كريم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومتعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.